Exodus 13, beginning in verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt, armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and camp at Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite of Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around in the land, confused, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and I will pursue them, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their mind about them and said, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services. So he had his chariots made ready and took his army with him. It took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt and with the officers all over all them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped near the sea near Pi-Hahiroth, opposite of Baal Zephon. I'm going to stop right there for now. We're all pretty familiar with that story, aren't we? Well, here's something you probably didn't know about me. I'm going to tell you this, a little insight into who I am. I get very anxious and stressed out when things don't go as planned, when something breaks, or I make a big mistake. When things like that happen, I just lose it. For instance, I want to tell you a story about up in Alaska. One of my responsibilities at the church I used to pastor in Alaska was to make sure that there was enough heating fuel in this tank that would heat the church, it would heat our living quarters, it would also heat a large gymnasium, and also just a very large complex. And so my job was to turn on the fuel valve to fill up the tank. Well, as you might guess, on one occasion, after turning the fuel valve on, I got sidetracked and forgot to turn it off. Big mistake. By the time I remembered it was on, several gallons of fuel had spilled onto the ground. I felt terrible about this, and I actually feared for my job. I thought I might get fired because I did this. And I spent the next several days shoveling contaminated soil into these barrels to reclaim the land, basically, to get all that fuel off the ground. And with each shovel full of dirt that I put into the barrels, the same question came over and over again in my mind, and that was, how could I have been so stupid? How could I have done that? To be honest, as I muttered that question to myself over and over again, I wasn't just thinking about this little oil spill in Alaska. You know, there's been different levels of oil spills up there. Anybody remember Exxon Valdez? But I was having flashbacks in my life of other blunders I had done in my life. Okay, this was like the button that I pushed that button there, and that's like all these blunders that I did throughout my entire life came back to me. For example, I remember a time I was quite young, probably wasn't really my fault, but I was sitting on my dad's tractor seat. I was on a tractor. I grew up on a farm, so we had tractors all over. And so I was sitting on this tractor seat, and it was an old tractor, and there was a lever on one side of the tractor where if you push it, It adjusts the hydraulics of the, and it just so happened that this tractor was hooked up to a farm implement. And my dad was working on the farm implement. And so I kicked that with my foot or something and the implement went down. My dad happened to be working closely with that implement. I was able to get that lever pulled back up and it could have been disastrous, but the Lord was watching out. My dad was not seriously hurt. But you know, when the oil spill happened in Alaska, I remember things like that. Well, as I grew older and became more involved in the day-to-day operations of the farm, there were plenty of opportunities for me to mess up. That's just the way it is. I was good at breaking farm equipment. I was good at getting tractors stuck. And when that happened, I usually had to brace myself because when I got home to my father, he was going to give me an earful about how I messed up. Fortunately, farm implements, they can be fixed. Sometimes your self-confidence isn't as easily fixed. Okay? Are we going to have more sirens here? What's going on here, Lord? Okay. There it goes again. All right. I could tell you about other mishaps that happened in my life, but I'll spare you this morning. I'll spare myself. But the question I have for you today is, has that ever happened to you? Has a current stressful situation ever evoked painful memories in your life? Wow, the Lord is, what's going on here today? God, help us here. These days, when I pull a no-brainer, I can also hear my dad saying, can't you do anything right? Do you ever have that tape recorder go off in your mind when you mess up and all of a sudden there's something going on? Somebody told you way back in your earlier years, gee, why did you mess up like that? For some of us, we remember painful words. For others, maybe it's a specific painful experience that returns to the surface. Perhaps it's something we regret we did. Sometimes it's something we regret that we should have done, we didn't do. Whatever the case, the question remains, what are we to do when our past comes calling? And you know it will. Threatening to wreak havoc in our present life and our relationships. It really can. Let's face it, we all have skeletons in the closet that occasionally rear their ugly heads and cause problems in our present lives. When this happens, what are we to do? Some choose to fight their past, vowing never to put themselves in that position again. I could have just quit, you know, just said, no, that's enough farming for me. I'm not going to do that anymore. I could get somebody killed, you know. Don't want to do that. Some try to grin and bear it, hoping that if they ignore the past long enough, eventually these painful memories will eventually go away. We just ignore them, like the big elephant in the room. Others decide to run from their past, hoping that they run fast enough and far enough that their past won't catch up with them. You and I both know, however, that these strategies, though they may appear to be to help temporarily, they will ultimately fail. When Jesus walked on earth, he said these amazing words that are recorded in John chapter 8, verse 36. He says, if the Son of Man sets you free, you will be free indeed. I believe that the freedom Jesus was speaking about includes being totally free from our painful past. Maybe not completely forgetting about it, but being at peace with it. So it doesn't handicap or paralyze the here and now, our present situation in life. The sad thing is that we all know people who truly believe in Jesus Christ, who truly have asked God into their life. They understand the saving power of Christ, yet they feel suffocated and haunted by their past. Because of that, when they act as if they are still prisoners of their past. They are not experiencing God's freedom in their life. Now the question is, how can you tell if someone is able to make peace with their past? Simply, all we need to do is just observe how they're acting in the present day life. If we are able, as a group, to have stable and healthy relationships with one another, then this probably means that we have viewed our past in the light of Christ's love and forgiveness in our lives. On the other hand, if our personal relationships seem to disintegrate with little warning, perhaps the peace of Christ that He offers us, yet we have yet to realize it in our lives. I know that there are times when certain buttons get pushed in my life that I act more as a prisoner than I do as a free person. And I think I'm not alone in that. I think we all have struggles in that area sometimes. Thankfully, the Bible has something to say about our shared dilemma here this morning. God's Word tells us that when our past comes calling, we're not supposed to hide from it. We're not supposed to run from it. We're not just supposed to grin and bear it. And also, and this might surprise you, we're not even supposed to fight back. Instead, what we're supposed to do, and you might find this surprising, we're supposed to go to the beach. Anybody like going to the beach? Who's going to the beach this afternoon? Anybody? I always enjoy the beach, whether it's the Michigan beach, Lake Michigan beach, or the Oregon coast. Those are all wonderful beaches, as long as it's not too windy. I'll say it again if you didn't quite hear me. When your past comes calling, when your painful past comes calling, go to the beach. I know that sounds crazy, but that's exactly what God had the Israelites do after they left Egypt. We pick up the story in Exodus 13, verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road to the Philistine country, though that was shorter, for God said, if they face war, they may change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert toward the Red Sea. Well, what's by the Red Sea? The beach. And then, beginning in chapter 14, the Lord says to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near this funny-named place called Pi-Hahiroth. I like to say that one. Between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, the Scriptures tell us. Directly opposite of Baal Zephon. So the Israelites did this, the Bible tells us. When things get tough, go camping at the beach. Now, how about that for sound doctrinal, biblical doctrine? Seriously, why do you suppose God led the Israelites on the scenic route toward the Red Sea rather than the most direct route or the more direct route? The answer is obvious. God knew that His people had to deal with their past, and until they did that, they would be totally useless and unprepared for what lay ahead of them. What did God say? If they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Even though God had rescued them out of Egypt and said He promised them to take them to the promised land, many of them wanted to return and go home. Even though what waited for them was probably death. And if anyone has the ability to assess the spiritual mindset of the Israelites, who better to do that than God Himself? After all, He was the one who heard the Israelites' cries. He was the one who came down to save them. And in His immeasurable wisdom, He determined that one route was better than another route. Why should we question God's wisdom in that? No matter what stage of life you find yourself in, there are going to be challenges. There are going to be demands to be met. If you are a student, well, you're getting close to the end now. But there are reports to be written, there are projects to complete. And if you're a stay-at-home parent, there are meals to plan, there are laundry to fold, dishes to wash, and even if you're retired, there are challenges, aren't there? There might be challenges due to health, physical restraints, financial uncertainty, and it's difficult to meet those challenges and responsibilities when you're toting around a bag full of painful memories and regrets in your life. A lot of times we are not able to function in everyday life because how our past haunts us. I wish people who sometimes like to bounce around in relationships from one relationship to another would understand this principle. Many view our new relationship as a solution to past problems, when in fact, the new relationship becomes a dumping site for more problems. You take your problems with you. It can happen not only with personal relationships, it can happen with jobs. It can even happen with churches. People can go from one church or one job to another thinking it will solve their issues, when in fact, we unwittingly take our issues with us to the next site. Until we experience freedom and peace with our past, all the hope we have for a new job or a new church or a new relationship will more than likely will disappoint us in our life. But God wanted the Israelites to make peace with their past before they would step into the future. That's why he had them camp at the beach. He decided that the shore of the Red Sea would be the perfect place for the Israelites to come to terms with their past once and for all. And think about their past. They were enslaved for hundreds of years. They were called upon to do cruel and demanding work. There was even genocide. Sue was speaking to the kids here. These were just some of the atrocities that faced the people of Israel. But you might ask, the beach? What are you talking about? Why would you go to the beach? Well, if you've ever been to the beach, have you ever tried to run in the sand at the beach? It's hard, isn't it? It's not easy. On the beach, the Israelites would not be able to run from their enemies. They would get stuck in the sand. And how about the trees at the beach? Are there a lot of trees at the beach? No. The Israelites certainly could not go and hide behind the trees when the Egyptians started bearing down on them. And how could the Israelites possibly ignore the 600 bloodthirsty charioteers bearing down on them? There was no wishing them away. They could not ignore them and think they were just going to vanish. God, in His infinite wisdom, led His people to the most vulnerable place He could find for them. To watch them die? No. That's what they thought. Why did you bring us out here, God, so that we could die? No. He led them to the beach so that the people could see with their very own eyes the destruction and the death of their enemies. Not only that, along with that, they could see the death of their painful past so that they could truly become free. The Bible says that as the Israelites saw Pharaoh and his army approaching, they were terrified. They cried out to the Lord. So Moses answered them by saying, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord your God today." The Egyptians you see today before you will never see again, God said. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Many Christians, including myself, have been taught to believe that we are to do battle with the enemy. And that is partially true. That's very true. We often cite Ephesians chapter 6 as our proof text, which says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." And when we hear a verse like that, right away, what do? We are tempted to muster up, charge half-crazed into battle. But guess what? Sometimes we go unprepared. We go unprepared. True, Paul does write about a battle and a struggle of spiritual proportions. He says that our enemy is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities. But Paul also says that it's not necessarily our job to fight it. Sometimes the most important job we can do as a Christian is to be still, is to stand firm, is to remain steadfastly behind the Lord's defenses. Exodus 14:9. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Are you tired of running from? Are you tired of hiding from? Are you tired of fighting your past only to have it get the better of you as soon as the next person comes along and pushes your buttons and causes the tape recorder to go off in your head again? The next time this happens, I want you to go to the beach. But you may be asking, what is my beach? What is my beach? Where is it? Is it that happy place? Is it my happy place? You see, God led the Israelites to a real beach where they were totally exposed to their fears, to their enemies, to their painful past. Where does God lead us? Well, He leads us to the same place the Father led His Son. We need to know that our beach is at the foot of the cross. It is here where we can look back and see the death of everything that seeks to destroy us at the cross. At the cross, we can look over, out over the terrain and see the defeat of those things that have brought fear and have brought hurt and have brought pain and brokenness and unbelief and selfishness. These are the things Christ died for on the cross. He died on the cross to render helpless the forces of evil and death and to bring us life and hope and joy. From the cross, from the foot of the cross, that is our beach. That is where we say with Paul, death has been swallowed up with victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? In the book of Hebrews, the author writes about a Sabbath rest. He writes, therefore, since the promise of entering the rest still stands, let us be careful that none of us be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them. Why? It says right there, because it was not combined with faith. You could come to church for 50 years and sit in the pews and listen to the gospel expounded before you and walk out of there and shake the pastor's hand and say, Pastor, what a good sermon. Or you could say, Pastor, that was a terrible sermon. You could say that too. But if you do not take the Word of God and somehow combine it with faith, you shall have no peace. You could sign up for the military and go and charge the beaches of Omaha or whatever they did. And sacrifice your life there and give everything. But if you have no faith, you have no peace. The author of Hebrew goes on. Today, if you hear His voice, and what that means is when you hear the written Word of God expounded before you, do not harden your hearts as Pharaoh did, but make every effort to enter the rest, to find the peace. For nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. In other words, you can try to ignore God's voice. You can try to run away from God's voice. You can try to even fight against God if you want to. But the Scripture says that everything is uncovered and laid bare before His eyes, to whom we must give an account one day. All men are appointed to die once and then stand before their Maker, giving an account. This Memorial Day, as you go about barbecuing or taking a nature hike or being with family and friends, ask yourself, remind yourself, where's your beach? It's at the foot of the cross if you're a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, explore what that means with me or other trusted individuals you know who are following the Lord. Ask them about it. We don't want our past haunting us. We want to be free to do God's will. We have a closing hymn for us. He leadeth me, hymn number 606.